Well, good evening, everybody. It is 1111, November 11th, 2015. My name is David Litt. I'm in charge of sales and marketing for Purium, and just hosting and introducing for tonight our owner and founder, David Sandoval, as he does every Wednesday night. This is the Purium Lifestyle Call. It's going to be a fun call. It's a radio format style call. Dave used to host a fantastic radio show in New York City, one of the most popular radio programs in all of New York. And so this is his opportunity to get back on the air and talk a little bit about what's in the news, what's on his mind, what's going on around Purium, and also just emphasize a couple of things that were in the Lifestyle blog, mostly today's new posts and new content. We're focused on Thanksgiving, which is obviously a big eating holiday, so eating right leading up to Thanksgiving and eating right at Thanksgiving and coming out of Thanksgiving, all that's important. And then going to be talking about skincare too. We've got our Bio Skincare, really, really unique line of skincare products. Bio stands for beautiful inside and out, and David Sandoval is the master of internal products, creating formulations that actually help the skin from the inside out. So we got a couple of internal products, three topical products, and the price is unbelievable. If you're a Purium Lifestyle Club member already, it's only $150 for a skincare program. I've talked to people who use $300 and $400 and $500 serums, $300 and $400 and $500 single products that say that this program works better than that. So anyway, without further ado, I want to turn the call over to our owner and founder. He's going to talk a little bit about living a healthy Purium lifestyle during the holidays. David Sandoval. David, you on the line?
I am, David. Could you hear me?
I can. A little bit of an echo, but I can hear you.
Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can fix that. Is that any better?
That is definitely better, yeah. Thanks.
Well, good evening, everybody. I guess with that, I am officially on. And thank you, David, for welcoming everybody. It sounds like we've got a few hundred people on the line, and that's a good thing. I hope that you are enjoying the new format. It allows me to talk about a lot more of the things that I'm really passionate about, and a lot more things, period. You know, if you read my Facebook post, I made it sort of clear what I planned on talking about tonight. And, you know, it was a pretty decent lineup. I think that I covered a pretty wide variety of things, and I might have scared a few people off with my first line. But I like to get your attention. So, again, welcome to the Purium Lifestyle Club. I am your host, David Sandoval. We are going to meet here every Wednesday, and this is going to be a forum where I get to pretty much say what I want to say. And I've seen a lot of things in the news. I'm watching the political debates and all of this, and I noticed that it really does seem to be as though, I'm not saying there's a war against women, I'm just saying that it seems as though because women are so amazingly important to this world, to this country, to our families, they are given a very, I don't know, there's no other word for it than basically disrespect. They're treated differently, and it's not fair, it's not right. I've been fighting against it my whole life, and for some people it makes you uncomfortable. I'm sorry, but I grew up in a Spanish household where my father tapped his cup and my mom filled it with coffee, and I never thought that was right, and I decided I would become an independent man who respected and created strong, independent women in every way that I could contribute to that. And so is there a war against women? Well, not at Purium, that's for sure. What is the glass ceiling? The glass ceiling is the invisible barrier that is a financial barrier that says that women who do the exact same job as a man will get paid on average 20 to 30 cents less on every dollar. That's 20 to 30% less for the same job. And so because of that, I want to remind you that at Purium, we do not discriminate against gender, color, or religion, or age. The only age we discriminate is if you're under 18 and you have to have your parents help you to sponsor you into the business. You see, we have more women and more minorities making more money than probably as a percentage of the people in our business than maybe any other company I know of in the world, unless it's a company that only hires women or minorities. And so there is no glass ceiling at Perium. There is absolute wage equality, opportunity equality, and I'm very, very proud of that. And I just want to remind you that we are extremely proud of the opportunity that we are creating. Now, what about breaking the glass ceiling? What about mammograms? Are they unnecessary or are they necessary? Well, I'll tell you this, that there is a few reasons why I believe that this is worth being examined. And the first thing is that there are a lot of false positives and there are a lot of overdiagnoses that are associated with having mammograms. Now, when I was on the radio in New York, I sounded the alarm over 20 years ago. I sounded the alarm, over 10 years ago, where I said that mammograms were unnecessary until you're 50 years old, and that mammograms were absolutely inaccurate for women of Pacific Island background, of African background, or simply women who have heavier flesh, because the mammograms don't work very well in those. And so I want to give you some statistics. Out of a typical 1,000 women who get mammograms, 900 will test normal, 100 will be asked to have biopsies. Of the 900 who test normal, one of them will ultimately die of breast cancer. So they miss some. They miss one out of 1,000. Out of the 100 who they suspect may have a problem, they will give a biopsy. And two of those will ultimately be found to have cancer. Unfortunately, they don't tell you how many false positives there are. They will not reveal that number. But I've seen some underground information that suggests that there are more false positives than there are correct positives. And so out of 1,000 women, they will miss one, two they will catch who actually had cancer, and many others they will say may have cancer, and that will lead to preventative or interventive mastectomies, but sometimes double radical mastectomies, which are really traumatizing to women. And they create a mad amount of fear. And so what I want to tell you is that because of these numbers, you're very, very likely to be misdiagnosed, more likely to be misdiagnosed than you are to be properly diagnosed. There's a very good chance. Because if one out of three are missed, and if several others are told that they do when they don't, that's pretty crazy. But here's what I want to tell you another thing. So let's say that you're going to get tested every year between the age of 40 and 50. Do you know that that only increases your risk of diagnosis by 10% versus if you start at 50? It only increases your benefit by 10% versus starting at 50. So that could be 10 years of unnecessary mammograms, and mammograms create radiation. And radiation itself has its attributes that are not good for you. Radiation itself could cause cancer. And so, again, 100 women have false biopsies. That's a minor surgery, unnecessarily. So there is a great need to reel back. And what you can do and what you should do is you should do an assessment. They have assessments that are basically like a 100-question assessment. You talk about your age, your environment, your level of stress, the frequency of different, things in your life. And through this assessment, you can actually really, really narrow down your risk factor. And for most women, that risk factor is going to be very low, and the mammogram may not be your first choice. for other women after doing that assessment, you may find that you are at a much higher risk and the mammogram may be a good choice. But the answer is absolutely not always yes. And in fact, until you're 50, the answer may be absolutely no, unless that questionnaire reveals something really, really, you know, revealing, I guess. Nonetheless, mammograms, yes or no? I hope you know more about that now. And what about moms being manipulated? This is crazy. I read this story, and it's nothing that we don't know, but I'm just going to tell you that they've scientifically analyzed it and proven it now. And what they have proven is that when you take your children to the store, that there are two things that have happened. One, your children have been influenced by commercials that are on things like Nickelodeon, you know, the Disney Channel. They took all the commercials that are listed or run on commercials that are directed at children by what channel they were seen on. That they were seen on channels that were geared toward children, and if the content of the commercial seemed to be directed at children, then they considered it a children's product. Pretty simple stuff. And then they looked to see if those, quote, children's products were also advertised on adult channels, on programs that adults primarily watched, and they found that they were. And what they found was that the message that was given to the parents was that these foods, these snacks, promote like joy and happiness between parents and children, that they make children happy, that they promote togetherness and calmness and smiling, joyous time. And so on one end, the parents are being told that these products are really associated with good family values. And on the other end, the children are being told that they're magically delicious, you know, and that they'll get a prize in the box. And they've got cartoons, you know, characters in cartoon boxes. And so what they found is that that combined influence, that combined sort of pressure on moms has psychologically put them in a place to where they feel they cannot say no to these foods. And so a scientific study shows that moms have been manipulated by big food into buying foods that have artificial colors, artificial flavors, artificial sweeteners, trans fats, and empty calories. And you know a GMO or two. So moms are being manipulated. We have started the Million Mom Movement, and we are the anti-mom manipulation movement, okay? We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to reprogram them from these lies that are being told. So is there a war against women? I don't know. I couldn't want to call it a war. I would say, are women great decision makers? Are they in a position of power? Are they being given the due or the respect that they deserve? Are they stepping into that power and demanding the respect from the food companies who are harming their children and even damaging and manipulating their own lives? Well, I say no. And so I want to invite women to step up into that power. I want them to fight back. I want them to join the Million Mom Movement, to refuse to be manipulated by anybody, whether it be a man, a company, a boss, or a commercial. Okay, so that's my message. And so moving on to our next subject. Remember, you're listening to the new and improved, I hope, Meet the Owners call, now called the Purium Lifestyle Club. And I have been reading, now you know that parasites are not good things. Well, I've been reading lately about certain parasites, and they have really awesome names like Opothorchis viverini and Clonorchis sinensis, and you know, and these are really nothing more than what we call a flatworm. And flatworms come from raw fish, specifically raw fish that is originated from Asia. Now, can you say sushi? And so when raw fish originates from Asia, it can have these flat worm properties. And these flat worm properties could actually cause cancer in your bile duct. Now, there is a schistosoma hematobium, and this is another parasite found in fish, but these fish typically come from the Middle East and Africa. and they cause bladder cancer. And what is surprising is that most of us think, okay, well, these are only parasites that we're going to encounter if we, say, travel to Africa or if we travel to China. But that's not true, because we have food coming to us from those continents. That's right. We have fruits and vegetables coming to the East Coast in New York that are coming from the African continent. And we have fish coming to the West Coast that's coming from Asia for our sushi. So don't think that we are immune. And guess what? Now, today, I read in the news that tapeworm, that's right, tapeworm may also cause certain types of cancer. This tells me something. It tells me that the timing of us introducing the Super Cleansar could not be better. The Super Cleansar is one of the most amazing anti-parasitic, you know, concoctions, if you would, formulas. Super Cleansar is, quite honestly, a product whose time has come. And when you look at, you know, this danger that's coming now from food that's coming from all over the world, we have to be very, very careful. So our wormwood and our marshmallow and our clove, you know, these are very special ingredients. We don't take this product lightly. Remember that if you are doing a 10-day transformation, you're already getting a bottle of Super Cleansar. But that is only half of the battle. Most parasites have a 20-day incubation cycle. So you could kill all the living parasites with Super Cleansar, but the ones that remain as eggs may hatch again. So having a second bottle of Super Cleansar 20 days after your first bottle of Super Cleansar is a very, very good idea, just to make sure. Now, you know, we have some amazing ingredients in this product. It's a very simple product, only 7 ingredients, but those 7 ingredients each are chosen because they are specifically directed at fighting parasites in your body, creating peristaltic action, and purging those from you. But again, taking it 2 times may be your best result, because it is sort of, again, a 1-2 punch, if you would, and I want you guys to be totally aware of that. Now, it's a very long agenda today. I had a lot to talk about. I want you to understand phytochemistry the way that I understand phytochemistry, so you'll be as fascinated with organic food and green food and superfood as I am. And when I think about, like, superfoods, you can't help think about alfalfa, the father of all foods, and the father of all foods is called that because it lives to be 100 years old, like grandpa. You know what I mean? So it's everybody's father because it's so old. But more importantly than that, it has this amazing ability to reach its roots deep, deep, deep into the soil. There's another reason it's called the father of all foods, because it actually provides nitrogen. It actually feeds the other plants. It does this because it has these deep roots that are like thin as hairs. And they could actually work their way into rocks. That's right. They could weave their way into the small crevices of rocks and then actually split rocks that are 40 feet deep in the soil. And they're absorbing all of these minerals that have not been in topsoil, that have not been in those top 2 to 12 inches of soil for 100 years. So they're bringing these amazing minerals from the deep in the soil back to the surface through that intricate root system. But that is not the key. That's not what I'm excited about today. What I'm excited about today is ribosium. Ribosium are these incredible little parasites. Since we're talking about parasites and we think that parasites are always bad, I want to throw a little worm to the parasite, no pun intended. This is a parasite that lives on the root systems of alfalfa. They tap into that nutrient stream that the root system is creating and they grow. But it is not a one-way street. In fact, it is a very important thing that these little parasitic bacteria are doing. You see, they are building colonies. On those little root systems, there's these nodules that look like, you know, big noses or something sticking out from the root system. And inside of those colonies, there are billions of these bacteria. And when those bacteria die, they actually release nitrogen because they live on nitrogen in the soil. So they're pulling nitrogen from that deep, deep soil. They're pulling the nitrogen right next to the roots of the alfalfa. They're creating these colonies. And when those colonies die, when the old ones die, they leave behind nitrogen. And that's called a nitrogen retention of a plant. And the more that the plant roots attract these nitrogen-gathering little microbes, then the more nitrogen will be put back into the soil when you grow this plant. And so the reason that we call alfalfa green manure is because of this amazing ability to re-nourish and replenish soil. And when you take alfalfa and you chop it up and you let it dry in the sun and then you bury it and mix it with some soil, the worms will come and eat it, and they'll leave behind worm castings, even more nitrogen. And so this is the secret lives of plants, where alfalfa actually becomes the start of regenerating, rejuvenating, and re-energizing, re-nourishing, remineralizing, putting nitrogen back into the soil. Alfalfa is the green manure. And now today they're trying to create genetically modified alfalfa that is a threat to every bit of organic alfalfa on the planet. The Chinese will not buy alfalfa from America because it is now GMO, and they refuse to buy it. So pay attention. There's a threat to organic food. That threat is coming from organic. That threat is coming because organic alfalfa is under attack. Now, there's another really, really cool secret to the soil I want to share with you. It's one of the funnest stories I tell people to understand how important plants are and the intricate, delicate reactions between them. And so we have to go all the way over to Britain, where people love their perfectly green, square, mowed lawns. And they hate dandelions. They hate dandelions so much they've created specific chemicals and tools just to get dandelions out of their lawns. And so, believe it or not, the British Lawn Institute, that actually is an institute dedicated to the preservation of the beauty of British lawns, they did a study on dandelions, and they found something out that is really, really fascinating. You see, they found, first of all, that in soil there are billions of spores of dandelions, and that the only ones that bloom are the ones that are triggered by a deficiency in the soil. And when there becomes a greater deficiency of calcium in the soil, then more of the dandelions will bloom. And so if you have a lawn and five dandelions bloom and you remove them, you will perpetuate the calcium deficiency, and then 10 dandelions will bloom. And if you pull all 10 of them, you will again perpetuate and exacerbate the dandelion calcium deficiency, and even more will grow back, until such time as your entire lawn will be filled with dandelions as the calcium deficiency increases. And so if you simply took the dandelions and ground them up and made a mulch out of them, every year take all the dandelions out, grind them up in your compost, make a mulch, and spread that out onto the lawn, you would then reduce the calcium deficiency and stop the dandelions from growing. And again, every plant has a purpose. Soil is smarter than us. We just keep fighting it and not understanding why. That's why we created Roundup. Roundup is nothing more than total war against the soil, total war against weeds, total war against plants. But every plant has a purpose. We need to learn symbiotics. We need to learn organic inputs. We need to learn to make the soil stronger and better every single year. And that's what organic agriculture is all about. Now, by the way, I'm going to take one little break just to take a drink of water. I want to remind you that we had an amazing group of people up at the Oasis for a PHP Academy, nearly 40 people sleeping outside in teepees, gazebos, and tents in rooms, and it was amazing. I just want to thank everybody who was there, if you're on the line tonight. Now, I'm going to take one moment to take a quick sip, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to cover our final three subjects, and I know, I hope, that they're going to fascinate you as much as they fascinate me. Okay, I am back, and I hope that you are enjoying tonight's call. You know, did you know that vitamin C, your vitamin C, everyone's vitamin C, may just be made with GMOs? Did you know that vitamin C is made with corn syrup and hydrochloric acid? More importantly, did you know that vitamin C is an antioxidant that is not even the nutrient vitamin C? So try to digest this. If you have scurvy, scurvy is a deficiency of vitamin C. If you take ascorbic acid, you will never, ever get rid of scurvy. You'll never reverse the deficiency of vitamin C. Even if you take 5,000 milligrams of ascorbic acid, you will not reverse the condition that is called scurvy, that is undeniably caused by a deficiency of a nutrient. Now, why do they call ascorbic acid vitamin C? Well, because they couldn't synthesize vitamin C, because vitamin C is natural. So I want you to imagine that vitamin C comes from, or looks like, in nature, it looks like, let's say, an egg. The inside, the yolk, is the fatty part, and that's the nutrient called vitamin C. Around that, the white part could be called bioflavonoids, and bioflavonoids work together with vitamin C to be absorbed and help your body. Now, on the outside, just like the egg, is a shell. Now, that shell is there to protect it from being damaged, from being oxidized, and if that shell breaks, the egg becomes rotten. We all know that. It could be infected and make us sick. And so vitamin C has a shell also. It's called an antioxidant barrier. And that antioxidant barrier is ascorbic acid. Ascorbic acid is an antioxidant barrier that protects vitamin C, but it is not vitamin C. Unfortunately, the ascorbic acid antioxidant that most of us get is made from corn, and corn is typically genetically modified. So unless you get organic ascorbic acid, and that may exist out there, it is almost guaranteed to be genetically modified. Even if you get organic ascorbic acid, it is not vitamin C. Which brings me to remind you that we do have organic vitamin C. It's called C from Nature. Organic C from Nature, and it's organic vitamin C. And it's something you could really, really trust, and something you could really, really love. Now, that's the truth about vitamin C. Now, the last thing I have for you is network marketing. Can it work for you? Now, I'm going into overtime. This is one last minute. I hope you'll stay with me. You see, some people think that network marketing is a scam, and some people think it's the best thing ever, and I'll tell you the difference. The difference is, what do you know, and what do you do? Do you know that the only time that we, you and I, the average person, is going to have a chance to earn residual income is through network marketing? You see, residual income comes from putting stocks and bonds in your portfolio and earning a return, having a large amount of money in the bank and earning a return, having a large amount of property that you rent to other people and making a return, perhaps having a grandmother who left you a trust fund in the form of a bank account that earns you a return. But other than those few, small, elite group of people, residual income is nothing more than a dream to the rest of us. Well, guess what? Network marketing is the only place that you can invest $1,000 or less and potentially make $100,000 a year or more, or $1 million or more, not in a year, but $1 million or more, maybe in a year. But here's the thing. Does that mean anybody could do it? Absolutely not. You see, not anyone could do it. How many people do you know that have a franchise and they invested $50,000 to $500,000 in that franchise? Well, first of all, they had to borrow that money, and then they had to go out and justify that investment to pay that money back. Well, here's the thing. In network marketing, especially at Purium, you never make a $50,000 or a $500,000 investment. You make a $500 investment. The problem is you don't make a $50,000 effort. If you made a $500 investment and a $50,000 effort, I guarantee you, you would be one of those people who has the greatest chance of earning the highest level in network marketing. If you make a $500,000 effort, that means you're working 17 hours a day, 6 or 7 days a week. Again, I guarantee you, you will be one of the people who has the potential to reach the highest echelon of income, regardless of your background. But the difference is the effort. If you are not willing to put in the effort, you are not going to get the returns unless you're just lucky. And so network marketing is amazing because for $1,000 or less, you could ultimately make $100,000 a year or more. But there is no guarantee. It's not for everybody. Not everyone is going to do that. But if you put in the time and the effort, wow, the chances of you doing that are so great. Just like a $50,000 or a $500,000 investment. But guess what? If it doesn't work out, you've only lost $500, not $50,000. And you've only lost a few months, not a few years. So this is the greatest leverage America's ever seen. We are the land of opportunity, but that opportunity has been destroyed. The middle class is being destroyed. People who need a second job, everyone is in that list. Let's not just make money. Let's make a difference. My name is David Sandoval. I want to thank you guys for having listened.